And turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Begin reading with verse number 3. Praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. If we are distressed, it is for your comfort and salvation. If we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patience, endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know just as you share in our suffering, so you also share in our comfort. Now here's the part I mentioned earlier. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the trouble we experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves but on God, who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us again. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Was that foreign? Okay. So now you really got to think. We need to understand that as things happen in our lives, there are times that we feel abandoned, left out, left behind. But Jesus said he would never leave us nor what? So even though you don't feel, even though you don't see, at times you don't hear, you're never alone. You're just never alone. As we face issues, and keep in mind, in this world, Jesus said, there will be tribulation. There'll be times of pressure. There'll be times of distress. There'll be times you wonder what's going on. You wonder, why am I going through this? And sometimes we don't get an answer. Somebody said God knows, but God doesn't tell. But as we are going through the adversities of life, just take the hand of the Lord, and he will lead you. Doesn't mean, listen to me now, it doesn't mean when things go wrong that we've been forsaken. You don't have to necessarily repent of all the sins that you ever thought about. You need to understand that God is not trying to kill you. Okay? He's not trying to break your heart. The devil comes to do what? Steal, kill, and destroy. So don't accredit to God the things that Satan does, because that will really mess up your head. That will really mess up your head. But I like what Paul starts out with here in verse 3. It says, praise be to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. The Father of compassion. Compassion is when we see someone suffering, when we see someone going through things, when we see problems that aren't being fixed. There's something that happens to us inwardly. It's kind of an inward agitation. And the normal thing to do is want to fix it. Okay? Wish I could read your minds right now. The normal thing is to want to bail anyone out who's suffering, who's going through illness, who's going through a divorce, who's going through problems, who's going through situations, and we want to bail them out. At times, we can. At other times, we just need to walk alongside of them. The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete, and we'll talk about this. It means comforter, advocate, encourager. But the Holy Spirit is called alongside to help in time of need. Now, I would dare say that every one of you sitting here today has had a problem in your life at one time or the other. And if you haven't, please stand up and tell me how you got through it without having one. We all go through situations. But it's because of God's compassion that we have a Savior. God looked down and saw mankind in distress, going through all kinds of issues, going through problems, and said, and was moved with compassion, and he sent his Son. As he sent his Son, he met the needs of mankind. You know, how many of you have ever watched these shows where the kids are hungry and their stomachs are getting big? So how many respond? We want to. But compassion is looking at those kids and saying, I can do something. I can help. Or compassion is looking at your neighbor who went through a death, who went through an illness, who's going through other problems. And said, I can help. We all face issues. It hurts. But we go through it and we don't go through it alone. You know, I didn't go home in a panic. I'm not sure what I cooked, but some of you that were here are still alive. But we go through these things, and at times, we just cannot put our hand around the fact that God is with us. Turn with me to James chapter 5. As you know, we count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. Now listen to this. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. The Lord is full of compassion and mercy. And whatever we do, or whatever we think, or whatever we say, let's stay in contact with a God who loves us. Let's stay in contact with a God who understands you more than you understand yourself. But at times, there's something that disconnects. And as there's a disconnection, we feel that we've been abandoned. The Bible says God, Jesus, will not leave us, and Tricia touched on it so beautifully, orphans. In other words, he's not going to leave you fatherless. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you alone. He's there to help. The issue with us is that we need to respond to that help. We need to lean on Christ. It's not a great time, and now I'm not trying to program anybody, but when you're going through hard things, it's not a great time just to be a free thinker. Free free thinking in a time of stress and trouble and heartache usually comes up with the wrong answer. Because how many of you are still human? Two of you. The mind, as it's being renewed, still loves revenge. Give me 15 reasons why I should love you. We go through that stuff. And so we come to a place where our mind and our spirit at times are disconnected. The spirit knows what to do. But your mind at times will try to override the things that the Holy Ghost is telling you, the Holy Spirit. And we need to understand that. And so we come to that place where we allow the compassion of Christ to minister to us. Now that's just one little point. Number two, he's the God of all comfort. That was what the word means. The word means an encourager. God comforts us with all the comfort available to assist us, to encourage us, to strengthen us, to help us, to lead us down the path we're going. He's helping. And as we accept that comfort, that encouragement, how many of us have ever, we all know that we've gone through some tough times, all of us. But how many of us have put the situation ahead of God? How many of us have been controlled by the situation instead of led by the Holy Spirit? How many of us has come to a place where we look at the situation and what we're saying, in all honesty, is, why God? Why did this happen? Do you ever think King David had some issues with what he went through? Do you ever think Job sat down and said, what in the world is going on? One day I got everything and now I got nothing. Now I got a little piece of pottery that I'm scraping the sores with. And you may say, well, Pastor, don't you have faith? Yeah, I have more faith than you think. My faith is that God will get you through the situation. That God will comfort you and strengthen you and encourage you, and you're going to go through it. Think back to the temptation of Christ. How many know what I'm talking about? You know, 40 days of fasting and then some three big temptations. And we know that Jesus went through them. But the part that interests me in Luke chapter 4 is that Jesus went out of the wilderness in the power of the Holy Spirit. He didn't go out with his head down. He didn't go out wondering where his father was. He didn't go out there wondering, what have I just been through? He went to the next situation that he was facing in the same way that he went into the temptation. And as we go through the trial, as we enter the trial and we're strong and we're willing to face anything, we're willing to go through it, sometimes our strength fails. You ever get tired? Sometimes it's very difficult. It seems like I read someplace that his strength is made perfect in our weakness. That his grace is sufficient. That God has your back. That God is with you no matter what is going on, and no matter if you understand it or not, no matter if you want to understand it. He's with you. It doesn't mean that our emotions don't get hurt. But as we had mentioned earlier, we live by faith and not by feelings. I remember going through a period for about a year. And we were traveling and we were preaching and we were pastoring and seeing all kinds of things happen, but never felt one moment of emotion. Nothing. And so I go to prayer in the mornings. I say, God, what did I do? And like I said earlier, God knows, but God doesn't always tell. And so after several months, I was praying one morning and the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, I'm teaching you how to walk by faith, not by how you feel. God will teach us how to walk by faith if we allow Him to.
Yes.
God will teach us how to face situations that aren't the things that we want to face and go through them if we really want to. The opposite of that is when I got a call that Mom and Dad were killed and I was in Bible college and I just dropped out. That's just the opposite. Dropping out didn't do anything. Hurting my back didn't do anything. Going through what I went through didn't do anything to help me. And so one night, I'm at Summit Avenue Assembly in St. Paul, and the Holy Spirit just came to me and said, Dwight, you want to bring him back? And I thought, heaven compared to International Falls? I don't think so. I said, no. I don't want to bring him back. But something clicked. Something clicked. And as you're going through these times where God is encouraging you and strengthening you and telling you to move on and telling you to follow me and tell you that you're okay, there'll be moments when you just know that the Holy Spirit is talking to you and you'll begin to understand. Because most of the time in the middle of a hardship or a tough situation or a death or a sickness or somebody just coming in like we had on Wednesday, Thursday, and just telling a guy that you're full of cancer, there are times it just doesn't click spiritually. And fear comes and concern comes and doubt comes and you're wondering, what did I do wrong and where do I go? And God is saying, just hold on. I brought you this far. I'll get you through it. How many of you can remember back to 2 years ago? What were you going through then? Or 2 months ago, what were you going through then? You know, there are times, folks, that we look at things and we don't think we're going to make it. Paul said, I basically was dying in this situation. And there are things that weigh down on us that it feels like we're going to give up the ship. We're going to give up the ghost. We're going to die. And God says, hold on. Time out. When these things happen, get your Bible out. Take a moment. God, who comforts us in all our troubles. How many troubles?
All.
How many are all?
All.
Define all for me.
Holy.
Okay. Entirely. Everything. He's a God of compassion and a God of comfort. I want to close with this. He does that, if you go back to 2 Corinthians with me, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves received from God. Okay? God is comforting you so in order that you can minister to someone else. You're going to find out around here that it's not about me. It's not really about Kirk. It's not about you. That was a good time to say, amen, Pastor, as we pick up our stones. It's about Him.
Amen.
And about Him teaching us how to live and go through things so that we can build someone else.
Amen.
Without building someone else, our experience is just an experience.
That's true.
So we go to a place where God comforts us, He strengthens us, He encourages us, and we're walking down the street and we see someone and their head is down and they look like they've just been ran over by a semi, but something has happened in their life, and you put your arm around their shoulder and you say, I came through something just like this. And God was the answer. It's amazing. And why you're doing that, you're comforting, you're encouraging, and you're growing. Do you ever stop and think? Some of you think I don't. But do you ever stop and think, as we talked about honor, that God wants you to honor people so they will honor you? Do you realize that the Ten Commandments are so somebody doesn't steal from you? God was protecting us. Do we realize with compassion that God wants people to come to you when you're going through things and they share His compassion with you so that as you go through it, you can share your compassion with someone else? That compassion? And as you're comforted going through a trial, you have learned to comfort others? I didn't want Mom and Dad to die for this reason, but I've preached several auto accidents where people have been killed, and I can say, hey, I know how you feel. You've gone through things, and you can face those things, and you can help people go through those things, and you can share, I've gone through that. And so, as we go through and we look at this, don't allow the things you go through, don't go through them in vain. Learn what God's telling you. And when God opens that door for you to minister to someone, don't be afraid. There are times when you're ministering to somebody in comfort, you just sit there, you don't say nothing until they ask a question. All they need to know is that you care. And there are times when God will absolutely give you what to say and how to say it, because they're ready to hear it. We went down and saw the man in Browns Valley, and better if you go to a gas station to get gas. So we filled up the car and walked in there, and gentleman said, well, thanks for coming. And I looked at him. I said, we didn't come for gas. We came to pray for you. And I said, is it okay if we pray for you? And as tears started flowing down his face, he said, yeah. We're going to go back and pray some more. The couple I met at post office on Thursday, I guess it was Friday, they said, please stop in and see us, will you? And I've known the man for years, but never had an interest before. But something's going on now. People don't really care how much you know until they know how much you care. And you all have big hearts. God has given you big hearts to minister someone. There are times that we just get distracted because there's too many things to sort out. There are things that we just have to get a hold of. And as you're doing that, we kind of miss at times. But listen, every one of you have a calling on your life. Strengthen, encourage, and comfort, and show compassion, and show mercy. That never leaves. You may move and you may go somewhere else, but it's still the call of God to help people who are in trouble by letting them know what you went through and how God got you through. And praise God. I close with this. Our hope for you is firm because we know that just as you share in our suffering, you also share in our comfort. And then he skips down. On him we have set our hope that he will continue to deliver us. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse number 16. Paul was talking about being crushed and being beaten up and all the other stuff, and he comes to verse 16. Therefore, we do not lose heart, or we don't quit, we don't give up. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, who in the world would have the courage to tell you that your troubles are light and momentary? What do I compare that to? I compare that to eternity. This 75 or 80 years or 90 years that we have on earth is nothing compared to what lies ahead. Amen. And the Bible tells us that the things that we see in this chapter at the close in the next verse are temporary. That means they're subject to change. But the things of God are eternal. They don't change. Some of us are not too far away from the eternal. But to get to the eternal, we have to live now in the temporary. But through our whole life, God is preparing us for eternal. And we're taking what he's giving us and we give it away. If you look at your Christian life and you find it boring, it's because at times it can be like the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is dead not because it doesn't have stuff flowing into it. The Dead Sea is dead because it has nothing flowing out of it. The more that we flow, the more that we allow the Holy Spirit to take what we've gone through and to take what God is teaching us. And every one of you have giftings. You have spiritual gifts. You have motivational gifts. You have giftings beyond what you could ever imagine. But you've been fibbed to and lied to by the devil and told, well, they don't matter, or they're not important, or you're not worthy, or whatever it is. You are important, and God made you worthy for whatever calling he's put on your life. And so we come to a place where we allow the giftings of the Holy Spirit to flow. Do you ever read 1 Corinthians 14:3? Prophecy is for edification, exhortation, and comfort. You can have a word for somebody. You can speak right into their heart. And you can see God change their attitude and even their lives because God spoke to you. To you. Say to me. Okay. God can speak to you and give you a word that will absolutely transform somebody's life in 5 seconds. I want that. I want to come in this service knowing that I've either been on the chair or on my knees and asking God, God, what do you want to do Sunday? I love it when people come in and God has revealed something to them about this service or Wednesday night or whenever it might be that he's doing. Missed a great place to say amen. And so, whatever the past has brought, because everything that's happened to you so far is past.
Amen.
It's past. If that was that bad, things can only get better.
Amen.
Come on.
Amen.
Say things are going to get better. Because God's in charge.
God's in charge.
And I'm walking with him.
And
the Holy Spirit,
comforts.
And shows me compassion.
And leads me.
And he always leads me to victory. Sounded like you almost meant it. We better start over. Oh, I forgot what I said. But it's true. God has not devised your defeat. Just walk with him. Just walk with him. Allow the Holy Spirit to do the rest. Amen.